Laura Boosinger, and we're going down the road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, home to a rich heritage of America's traditional music.
The Cherokee Language Repertory Choir started in the spring of 2023. This choir uses the Christian harmony shaped note tradition, but instead of singing it traditionally in English, this choir sings in the Cherokee language. The Cherokee language consists of 88 syllables and is represented visually through a syllabary, which was invented by Sequoia in the early 19th century. The written English language uses 26 letters to form sounds and syllables, while the Cherokee syllabary uses its 88 characters to represent whole syllables. In the shape note tradition, notes are placed on a staff, as in standard musical notation, but the scale degrees are represented by shapes, seven shapes in the Christian harmony. Singers learn to sing the shapes and then associate the musical intervals with the shapes. When a new song is sung, the singers sing the shapes once to learn the tune and then sing the poetry or the lyrics. For singers new to shaped notes and the Cherokee language pronunciations, the Cherokee Repertory Choir teaches them shaped notes and Cherokee syllables. The choir meets on alternate weeks in Cullowhee and in Cherokee at the new Gadua Academy. Open to the public, the choir features singers with and without Cherokee lineage, as well as singers with and without fluency or experience with the Cherokee language. The choir was started by Dr. Sarah Snyder Hopkins, director of the Cherokee Language Program at Western Carolina University, and Garrett Schulberg, New Gadua Academy arts teacher. We spoke with them, as well as Matthew Tunai, enrolled member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indian, musician, and a Cherokee language teacher at New Gadua Academy, to learn more about this exciting cultural endeavor. Sarah explains how the idea of the choir was developed.
One of the biggest living practice that was still happening in Cherokee language is hymn singing, which started in the early 19th century as more and more Cherokee folks, converted to Christianity or began practicing that as a community practice, and things were translated. And so there were still church groups and pockets of people here. That practice was here, but as with anything else with the language, fewer and fewer and fewer people knew those songs, fewer and fewer people were singing them. Just like in general, there's fewer and fewer people that remember those hymns in general in any language. Like, they're not really, there are a lot of hymn singing is not happening in English either. We see churches are going to, praise choirs, and they're not singing hymns like they used to. So it's a twofold practice that's going out of, so not only are people not speaking Cherokee and not learning Cherokee, they're not singing the hymns. Nobody's singing the hymns anymore, it seems like. I mean, they are, but not like they were.
Part of the importance of this group is simply the act of singing with others, as Garrett shared.
To go to a more metaphysical side of it, there's nothing like singing in a group of people. That's my favorite time. It's like collaborating with people. Choir music is one of my favorite things. There's something beyond what we're doing. There's something beyond just singing the notes on the page that happens when people come together and sing.
This gathering of people also provides new experiences and knowledge for all attendees.
This is also sort of a way of sort of bringing together, people in the area into this practice of Cherokee language that aren't even Cherokee. So there's a lot of non-enrolled, non-Cherokee folks that are participating in addition to many Cherokee folks that are participating. And so, there's a lot of levels as far as Cherokee language happening within the choir. And so we have a subset of people participating that can read the Cherokee syllabary. Mm-hmm. They can read it just fine. That, there's a handful of us, maybe half a dozen, that can read it. And we would prefer to read that you know, as opposed to reading the phonetics. Well, for all the people that don't know Cherokee syllabary, because it can take a long time to become pretty fluent in reading it, you know, at least reading the sounds, if not knowing what the words are, that so we have to convert everything to phonetics as well, which, you know, is basically English letters. And so we have like all these multiple levels of reading skills in the language and, you know, understanding.
Shape notes are not new to Cherokee culture.
We're not introducing a new practice. We're revitalizing an older practice that was already there. There was shape note singing here. And it really, I mean, there are still Cherokee speakers alive that only know how to read shape notes. Like I know personally one speaker who's like, I know how I can read shape notes, I can't read music. So that tradition was still here actively, at least through the mid, like, you know, 20th century. In my own kind of research, I found, I was reading through a journal by Will West Long, and he actually has a page where he's listing names. It's like the whole journal is in Cherokee language, but then there's a page where these hymns are listed in English and given, and the numbers are listed next to them. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? And then he writes at the bottom, oh, this is Christian harmony. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, so they were singing Christian harmony here.
A Cherokee singing book published in 1846 recorded the shaped note tradition, including revised pronunciation for the shapes.
We found in that Cherokee singing book that the scale names were given, but they were different because there are certain sounds that Cherokee doesn't have that is in English. And so the sounds had to be modified. So instead of, we're familiar with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, or si, do. And then in Cherokee, we get do, le, mi, ga, so, la, ti, or si, do.
Sarah was invited to a retreat that Yo-Yo Ma organized at Purchase Knob 2022. At the retreat, Sarah expressed her idea for a Cherokee choir to Ma and his team. In 2023, Ma returned to the area and wanted to check in on the idea of the choir that Sarah had shared with him.
Yes, we were definitely raising the profile a bit there with our choir and having a famous visitor, Yo-Yo Ma. We're just like, how did this come to happen? And so what was really amazing is I got to go to retreat last summer that he did up at Purchase Knob. And what was wild was then when he came back this spring, they reached out and said, hey, Yo-Yo's coming in. He'd like to pass through and kind of revisit with the folks that he saw last summer. And when he came into our choir that day, he said, you said last summer that you wanted to do this, and look, here you are doing it. And I said, I can't believe you even remembered I said this, you know, with all the things that you have going on. So it was a really wonderful moment to say, you know, hey, and potentially it was in telling him that summer that sort of really planted that seed of like, we should really do this, you know.
In some cases, Cherokee singers who had grown up singing in church brought new melodies
tune that
to
we were
songs.
Singing that the Cherokee speakers had a completely different tune for. And it was really cool to hear that and just go, wow, like there's this published thing and then there's the oral tradition that's out there. So
there's some folks that are from my church that are in the Ripcord Choir. So we sort of know most of the songs that we've been singing. There's a couple of them that were new. But we were able to bring to the table different tunes to the same song. And that's one of the advantages of knowing some of the songs in Cherokee. You can have the same song, but have a different tune to that song.
Yeah.
And so we were able to bring different tunes to that specific song that we were learning. So we would add on to that repertoire.
Matthew is new to shape note singing, but a background singing in church has helped him in the learning process.
not shape notes in itself. It was something that I've always wanted to learn how to do, but I'm still having trouble with it because it's all brand new to me. But we use the redback handles in church, and it still follows that shape note pattern.
Yeah.
So getting into the choir and participating there, it gave me a lot more to see how the shape notes worked and things like that. So I've enjoyed it.
Although Matthew did not learn Cherokee as a first language, he has learned the language through his family and community.
My parents, that wasn't their first language. My grandparents spoke it, but due to the boarding school trauma and things like that, our grandparents just decided not to teach them. So I've had exposure to Cherokees, you know, growing up ever since I was little. They had Cherokee language classes in school. They, you start from kindergarten and go all the way up to high school with Cherokee language. But the problem with that is those are only like 20-30 minute classes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really much to retain a lot. But around after I got out of high school, I started doing my own personal study and trying to learn it. I had my grandma, she was a fluent speaker, and my paternal grandpa, he was a fluent speaker, so I was able to talk to them a little bit, and I was the only one out of the grandkids that was putting in an effort to learn the language. So it kind of gave a little bit more special bond between me and my grandparents.
The work of this choir in sharing the Cherokee language is important for many reasons, but the most important may be keeping the language alive.
There's less than 150 speakers of Cherokee left in North Carolina that speak this dialect.
Okay.
And almost all of them are older than 65.
Neither Sarah nor Garrett knew if anyone would be interested in the choir. Now they do.
Coming out of COVID, we were said, let's actually try this. Let's try to see if we can make this choir happen. And we were just almost like dumbstruck by the response we had and the number of attendees that came, people that had been coming and actually wanting to do this with us. And so at that point we were like, whoa, like this is like going to be a thing and we've got to be, you know, get serious about it and really, you know, plan. So we're going to actually have like a schedule and do all the things, you know, that choirs do. So we're very excited as we're going to start back up again, end of August, early September, start singing again.
Garrett shared his thoughts on the progress the group has made.
It was a short season. So, but I was really astounded with how much progress they made. Like, most of them have mastered the shapes now. And so that's really exciting to me to see that. They've progressed a lot in reading the syllabary too. One benefit is that we do have like a good handful of people who are completely fluent, who are either at the school or in the adult language program or with Sarah, who are fluent in the syllabary and can read that no problem. So it's like we're all bringing something different to the table a little bit. It kind of goes back to that democratic aspect of it, where like some people are fluent in the language, so they can bring that aspect and tell us a little bit more about what we're singing. I can bring in, me and Sarah, and I can bring in some of the music and then some of the managerial stuff, of course. But some people are really good at the syllabary and are bringing that knowledge in.
If you think you'd be interested in singing with the choir, Garrett has some advice.
I would just say for anyone who's curious to come, there is a lot of upfront learning and you can feel very lost if you do come in the beginning, and that's totally understandable. But I want you to know that I sympathize, because when I went to a shape note for my first time, I knew the language they were singing in and still struggled a lot. So, and I'm a musician too. So it's like there's a lot of layers to it, but the more you come, the more the tradition can be cemented in your head and sort of form into something more beautiful than it is without you. So if you want to come, please do, you know.
Matthew shared how he hopes the choir will evolve.
I hope it continues to thrive. I hope there continues to be an interest in it. There's a lot of potential there for some growth, not just learning music, but actually finding this, the like with the alterations to the do re mi, where they adapted it into our language. I didn't know anything like that, so it's also learning a bit of a forgotten part of our history in music. I didn't know anything about it, and a few other folks that live here didn't know anything about it, so it's something that, you know, it's brand new to us, but it's always been part of our history.
Yeah.
And we just kind of forgot it. So it's nice to rediscover that forgotten part of our music.
Sarah shared her hopes for the choir in the future.
From my perspective, and I don't want to speak necessarily for Garrett, but from my perspective, I would really like to see it continue indefinitely to grow. It could even be something that could potentially become like a nonprofit entity unto itself that has a board and oversight and, you know, ways to continue on if, you know, say Garrett or I isn't able to keep doing it for whatever reason, that that we have maybe brought up enough people through this choir and over the next few years that we have people that would be capable of coming in and leading, or it's sort of sharing that load of prepping and leadership, and that also that we have developed enough materials that there's truly a, not only are we calling ourselves a repertory choir, but we have the materials created and adapted in such a way for this group that it can continue on. And to, you know, be able to say, hey, can you guys come sing for this event? And we'll be able to do that. But at the end of the day, we want it to continue to be freely open to anyone who wants to participate at whatever level they're at. It's never going to be a choir that strives for perfection. It's, at least as long as Garrett and I are doing it, it's going to be intended as a way of bringing people together to learn more about Cherokee language, to learn more about shape note singing, and to just learn more about each other living in this region.
Down the road he comes to the turn, rocks in the road as big as a churn. Down the road, I've got a sugar baby down.
Road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails is brought to you by the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, the North Carolina Arts Council, and WNCW-FM.